Good morning. How are you guys? Oops, I got to get this started. Are you stressed or feeling at peace right now? Yeah, peace. Oh, all right, good. One person responded peace. I'm going to take that as representative of all of you. Summer is almost here, right? Is it exciting? I know some of you are taking finals. Some of you are getting papers done right now. Maybe some of you are even visiting for one desperate cry out to the Lord here on Sunday morning. Welcome, by the way. There's no shame in that at all. We are excited that summer is almost here. Last week was a big deal. Wasn't last week a big deal? It was Easter. come on, Easter is a big deal. And okay, yes, applause for the resurrection. Last week we actually did something unique and special at the 9:15. Many of you probably were not there, so I brought footage of a special worship song that was led by H2O Kids. I have it here on video. All right, let's cut it. I think they have it on infinite loop. I have to say, after they led us in that song, there was the largest round of applause in the 11-year history of our church. People went nuts. It was fun. It was fun to hear, see them up there. They brought them up, and they were all, like, connected to a rope. I think they were holding the rope to keep organized. And then they came up, and it was funny to watch because I was thinking about this series that we were all in, right? We had just finished this series called Multiply, and we'd been thinking about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to make disciples. And I was watching them, and it was interesting because some of them were, like, ready to go. They ran up here. They were singing, twirling, clapping. And then there was a couple of them who I was watching in the back, and they were like, I don't know. I don't know what I think of this whole thing. And it took their mom or dad being like, all right, I'll go. I'll carry you up. And they would walk out, and you can see there was, like, a section of parents with their kids because they weren't so sure what they thought of this whole thing. And I was thinking about our series, and I was thinking about discipleship. The goal of that whole series was to think about what it means to be a disciple, right? We define disciple as someone who believes in Jesus and learns from Jesus and lives like Jesus. And then we talked about how our call is to make disciples, is to not only be a disciple, but to help people learn how to be disciples, learn how to be followers of Jesus, learn how to be worshipers of Jesus. And I thought, man, this is a great picture of that, right? The next generation following Jesus, singing about Jesus, worshiping Jesus, and the moment kind of captured this reality that if we're about that, and if we want that, if we want to lead people into following Jesus and lead people into worshiping Jesus, we are going to have to go with them. Very often, we're going to have to go with them because they're not going to want to go alone. In fact, we're not just going to have to go with them, we're going to have to model for them what we're talking about. There was one mom in particular, Catherine, who was there, and she was into it, man. She was, Jesus is alive, give me a high five. She was high-fiving people, and her son was in her lap. Fisher was just looking at her like, Mom, I'm not even sure this is a legitimate worship song. This is, it was a look of pure skepticism. And I was just looking at her thinking, she's living it out in the hopes that her son is going to get it. In the hopes that her son is going to become a worshiper of Jesus. And it's not just enough to be there or to say, you go up. We need to walk with the people in our lives. And I thought about life, and I think that's every area of our lives, right? If we want to be people who are leading and influencing other people, whether it's our jobs or our classes, in parenting or in discipleship, before anything else, we need to be living our faith first, right? We need to be ones who are following first. We need to be ones who are worshipers first. And what that means is that the most critical element of discipleship at the end of the day is our own spiritual health. Before we talk about anything else, we should be focusing on our own spiritual health. Or let me say this another way. The most important question we could be asking ourselves at any point in time is, am I leading a life worth multiplying? Right? I know that can sound a little sobering. But if we're going to take 6 weeks and talk about how can we make disciples And how can we invest in the next generation? This is the first question. What sort of life am I going to multiply in the next generation? So as we head into the summer, that's what we want to talk about this morning. Really briefly, let's just consider this like an addendum to the last series. It's like an extra for the Multiply series, part 7, where we talk about what it looks like for us to have a life worth multiplying. We're actually going to flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Today, you know that in the six-week series that we did, we were in 2 Timothy, and we were talking about how Paul gave instructions to Timothy, kind of final words to him about what it means to walk with Jesus and how to help others walk with Jesus. Well, this was a letter written a little earlier in their relationship, but again, it revolved around Paul giving instructions to Timothy as a leader in the church. And there were false beliefs popping up in the churches, and there were issues coming up in the churches, and he was giving him instruction about how to appoint leaders and how to fight heresy and how to live in such a way as to be an influence. And in 1 Timothy 4, there's this section after giving many instructions, preparing him for spiritual leadership. Paul says this in verse 11. He says, command and teach these things that I've been talking to you about. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. And just to roughly summarize what he's putting forth here is, look, in the times that we've spent together, I have passed on many things to you. We've talked about a lot about how God has made you and what you're gifted in and what he's commissioned you to do. Go be the leader God has called you to be. Go. We've talked, and now it's time to live it out. And then in verse 15, he says this, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. And that word practice, it's used here, has the sense of cultivate these things, conspire, keep thinking about these things, even the idea of plotting or planning, right? The things that you have heard, the things that I have taught you and talked to you about, plot, plan on how you are going to put them into practice and expect progress. In fact, I would love to see your progress be evident to everyone. You're going to keep growing. And I know we talk about this a lot. It's so important. We're not here ultimately to accumulate information or knowledge. We're not here so that we can cultivate some emotional experience. Those are good things. Those are fine things. But ultimately, our hope, our prayer is that life transformation would take place, right? That as we hear God's word, we learn more about him, he would transform us. We would put into practice what we are hearing. We would apply it to our lives. It is relevant to everything that's going on in our lives. When we leave here, we would be transformed. And that's, for us, as your leaders, one of the greatest joys that we have is year after year getting to see, not just you guys catch stuff or understand stuff in your head, but to see you put it into practice and see life transformation take place, kingdom work happening. I was thinking about this week because we've been talking a lot this year about prayer. And we've been talking about the importance of prayer personally and as a church. And you know, as one of your pastors, I don't really know what's happening in your individual lives often. I don't know what your prayer lives look like. I don't know even in your teams what's happening. And so in faith, I'm just believing that lives are being transformed. But one of the things we decided to do is we were going to try to get together and pray on Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 7. And whoever wants to come, and I know for a lot of people that's not a convenient time, but we just decided, all right, we're going to do this. And I've been able to come at times. Sometimes I've been out of town. Sometimes I've had appointments. But every single time I come, there's this little group of people that are almost always there, that are almost always there praying. We have an Eric, and we have a Jesse, and we have a Maddie, we have another Eric, and we have Nate, and Vivek, and there's this group of people, and some of them are leaders in the church, and some of them are not. Nicole is there almost every time I'm there, and these are just individuals who have decided, you know, we've been talking about prayer, and I'm going to plot and I'm going to plan to make it more a part of my life. I'm going to put this into practice. I don't know what will happen. I don't know if the church will be transformed or if my life will be transformed, but I have decided that I don't want to just talk about these things. I want to do them, and I show up, and I see these faces, and I think, this is it, right? This is what happens when someone decides. I'm going to put these things into practice. And I know for all of you guys, this school year has probably been, there's been moments where you've experienced that, where you've been putting things into practice, you've tried. You know, we talk about this a lot, and there's this exhortation we see all throughout Scripture, and that's to have an attitude of a learner, where we're sitting at God's feet, and we're not just hearing, we're putting things into practice. We long for you guys to have a mindset that whenever you hear a sermon or you read a passage or you listen to a podcast, that you're not just thinking whether you've heard this before, but you're thinking, have I put this into practice? Is this a part of my life? And that's what Paul is exhorting Timothy to do. Immerse yourself in this. Be wholehearted. Verse 16 says this, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this. For by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And I love this phrase, keep a close watch, fix your attention on, be alert for, watch your life and your teaching. Watch what you are believing and how you are living, and watch it closely. I was thinking, we have a conference next week. We're part of this church network called the Collegiate Church Network, and we have a leadership conference coming up, and in conjunction with that, I was sent a spiritual health survey. They're like, you got to fill this out as one of the pastors. I'm like, all right. So I went on there and I asked some hard questions like about purity and character and relationships. I'm like, okay, this is for real. And then it said, now if you're married, have your spouse fill this out. I thought, okay. And I looked at the first question on my wife Heather's survey, and it was, what is the biggest character struggle your spouse is currently wrestling with? And I thought, whoa, all right, there's no icebreaker questions here. This is getting real. And there was this moment where I had to decide, do I really want to know the truth or do I just want to go on pretending that everything is fine, right? You ever have a moment like that? Those are hard moments. If we're honest, when those moments come, often we're like, yeah, you know what? Everything is fine. It's a good illusion. I'll keep that. It's hard to want to confront the truth. I handed my survey to my wife yesterday. We were together, and I thought she was just going to do it while we were hanging out. And she starts reading the questions, and she's like, oh, okay, this is going to take a little bit of time. So she has carved out multiple hours this evening that she's going to sit down and really let them know. Honest and true answers to these questions. And in my head, deep down, I really wanted her to look at those questions and kind of grin and then write on the top in block letters, John Shaw, no known weaknesses, and just hand it back, right? That's what I wanted. But that's not true, right? We know that that's not true. There's real things going on. There's real lessons for me to learn. There's real things that I'm struggling with. And the reason we're doing it is because it's so important. Listen to what Paul says. He says, persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And I don't have time to go fully into this, but there are eternal ramifications to what's going on here. He is saying to Timothy, this is a big deal. This is a huge deal. What you believe and how you live are immensely important. So we need to take these things seriously. Not just for our sake, but for the sake of the people around us. Our health is on the line. And we get that on a certain level, right? We understand when our health is on the line, we do things we don't normally want to do. My family has a history of colon cancer. I know, I'm oversharing just a little bit. And what that means is instead of getting my first colonoscopy at the age of 50 to make sure everything's fine, I had to get it at 40. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Nobody in the first service hoot and hollered for that. And you may be thinking, well, what's a colonoscopy, John? Well, actually, they gave me a video of it, and I brought that, and I'd like to share it with you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not sharing my colonoscopy. I actually do think they gave me a video of it, but you're not going to see it, because that would be inappropriate. But I'm going to sum it up for you. This is the long and the short of it. Is they go in there, and they figure out if there's any problems. Because what they want to do is they're worried that about cancer. And they can go in there and see if there's anything that looked like it might become cancer. And so they go and they take care of it early. That's the idea, right? It's not fun. Nobody on the earth likes it. But it's so important, right? And a little bit of discomfort, a little bit of appointments and follow-up appointments and hassle of a procedure is way better than finding out 10 years later that you've got cancer. And so we do this. We do it because it keeps us healthy. We do it because if we find things early enough, they don't turn as bad as they could. They haven't taken root. They haven't made major problems yet. And so we try to keep our eyes open. We try to be attentive. We try to watch and keep watching because it's so important, right? That's the sense of which Paul is saying, look, keep watch, not just on your physical health, on your spiritual health. I think about our small groups. I think about our teams. And I think about how so often those are places where tough questions are asked. That's why. It's us trying to keep watch. And it's not because the church is wanting to look up, keep you accountable for your own life. There's rules that you have to follow, and we need to ask these tough questions to find out what you've been doing. That is not the goal. Real accountability is when somebody says, this is so important. I'm inviting you. I'm asking, would you ask me these questions to help me keep watch? That's ideally what should be happening in our small groups, in our relationships with our brothers and sisters, in our teams, where we say, you know what? I know I can't even do this on my own. I'm going to keep watch, but I know I'm kind of a fool. So would you help me? Would you ask me these questions? Will you tell me these things? And together, maybe we can make sure that nothing terrible is coming out in my life, that I'm not starting to practice things that are totally not of God or believe things that aren't in line with the gospel. Will you help me? That's what it's supposed to look like. And it's supposed to look like that because we're so passionate about wanting to honor God, about being an individual that has a life worth multiplying, right? And that's the exhortation that he's giving Timothy. I want to just stop for a second and ask you guys, is that desire of your life? When is the last time that you prayed or considered the question, what is the honest state of my life and my doctrine? What is the honest state of my life and my doctrine? I believe for us who want to follow Jesus, this call should be a regular pattern of our life. And you may be thinking, okay, why are we talking about this now? The first reason is basically because of what CJ shared. When we listen to his story and we hear his life, we can see one thing very clearly, that transitions are really hard. Whenever we have transitions in life, whether it's we're graduating or we're going home for the summer or we're starting a new job or we're getting married or now we're having kids, all of those transitions are really disturbing. They shake us up and they really mess with our spiritual life. They really mess with our spiritual health. And each new change presents a challenge. And here we are, for many of you guys, in the threshold of a change. Some, it might be small, just a few months of not being here or transitioning out of classes. Or it could be big, right? Some of you are getting married soon. Some of you are starting new jobs soon. We need to keep watch. Individually, we need to keep our finger on the pulse of our spiritual health and learn to keep doing that. And our spiritual health not only needs to be our first priority, we need to embrace the reality that it's on us. And when I say it's on us, I don't mean, you know, we need to produce all the fruit in our life, but it's on us to be asking these questions, right? Aziz is not going with you wherever you go to ask you about your spiritual life every week or to call you up or text you, right? We're entering places where maybe there's no one who's going to look in on us. And for us to embrace, I can get with the Lord myself. I can ask these questions. I could ask him for help. I need to figure out how healthy I am right now. So the first reason is just for us individually. The second is all of these things are exhortations, not just for us individually, but for us as a church. We are actually 11 years old now as a church, so we're like a preteen. So we are convinced we know everything. Just kidding. It's been an amazing 11 years, right? God has been doing amazing things in our midst. We are hearing stories of how he has shown his goodness and he is changing lives. But we as a church, we need to keep watch. We need to keep growing and understanding. As leaders, we're constantly wondering about the health of the church. We're constantly asking questions about how can we get healthier? How can we glorify God even more? And to be honest, it's hard because we'll hear occasional stories talking to people, but that's about it. And it's hard to know what's really going on with everyone. And so a while ago, we were interacting with a friend of ours who does church health assessments. He comes in and he helps large churches assess how are they doing. And something he suggested to us was it would be possible for us to do something a little more formal, a little more intentional, to get feedback from people. So he put together a survey for us. And it's a small thing and it's just a tool. But he thought that we might be able to use it to get a better sense of the spiritual health of H2O. And so what I want to ask you guys to do, kind of in response to this passage, is to fill this out. But we're going to do it right now. All right? I know this is weird. This is something we have never done before. But we thought the best way to get feedback and the best way to get you engaged in this is to all do it together. It is completely anonymous. Okay? It should take 8 to 10 minutes. There will be no follow-up of this. You will not be stored in a database. We will not be tracking you. Okay? It's a simple survey that we have on this SurveyMonkey link. And you're thinking to yourself, well, this isn't for me. I'm visiting or I don't come very often. We would love to invite everyone to do it. Because we do not want the opinions of three leaders that we already know their opinions. We want the opinion of everyone, right? All of us. And in faith, we are believing that your voice, your thoughts, your opinions will help craft this community to be even more healthy than it's ever been. Okay? So, here's the link. If you do not have a device, we have iPads and paper available to you. You may not take the iPad home. No, this is not a great giveaway. But if you want to raise your hand, if you don't have paper or iPads, I'm going to pray for you guys. And then we're going to give you 10 minutes to fill this out. We think that's enough time. It seemed to work well in the first service. If you have any questions or you need an iPad or paper, just raise your hand and we have a few ushers that will come around and help you. And then after the 10 minutes, the worship team is going to come back up and lead us back into a time of worship. Feel free, if you're not quite done, to finish it up and then join us in worship. Again, let me reiterate our goal is just that somehow, some way, God will speak to us as a community. That we would be keeping our eyes a little more open so that we could push into being a little more healthy to glorify his name. Let me pray for us. Lord, I want to thank you for these men and women. I thank you just even for the next 10 minutes. And I pray that you would use this simple survey to change us, to help us get even better at practicing what you have taught us. And that we would not be a church that talks about a lot of things but doesn't live it out, Lord. I pray for real life transformation in our lives individually and as a community as we try to glorify your name in this city and on this campus, Lord. We thank you, and I pray for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.